Do you want to learn interesting psychological information in an easy, straightforward, and entertaining manner? Then you need to listen to The Shrink Is In, a podcast show produced and hosted by Dr. Howard Gurr. Dr. Gurr is a practicing licensed psychologist for more than 25 years in New York State, and now he is available to you on the internet. Now, here's Dr. Howard Gurr.
Hello, this is Dr. Howard Gurr for The Shrink Is In. And today, I'm going to be speaking with Dr. Fred Holtz about anxiety and relaxation techniques. Before we meet Dr. Holtz, let me give you his background. Fred Holtz is the executive director of Holtz Psychological Services, a group practice in Melville, New York. Dr. Holtz has been in private practice for over 22 years, and he has extensive experience in individual and marital therapy, learning disabilities, and psychological evaluations. He received his doctorate from Hofstra University and did his undergraduate work at the State University of New York at Stony Brook. In addition to his private practice, Dr. Holtz is an adjunct professor of psychology at Suffolk Community College. Dr. Holtz is the author of 10 Ways to Reduce Stress and Anxiety Today, a practical booklet on identifying and reducing anxiety. His articles and workshops on coping with stress and on improving communication and relationships have been featured on Long Island News 12 and in Newsday. And he's been a guest lecturer and workshop leader for businesses and civic organizations. He established a website called www.therapynow.com, where you can find information about treatment programs and psychological issues. And now, let's meet Dr. Fred Holtz. So, Dr. Holtz, welcome to The Shrink Is In.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
That's great. And, you know, today's topic is probably a topic that touches a good portion of the population out there, no matter where they are, and that is anxiety and relaxation techniques to help anxiety. So the first question off the top would be, how do you know if you have anxiety?
Well, everybody has a little bit of anxiety, but the way you know it is if you find yourself worrying most of the day. There are physical symptoms of anxiety. Sweaty palms, shaky legs, your heart seems to be racing, and in a way, more importantly, your thoughts are racing. Like, you can't shut off certain thought patterns. And I guess when it interferes with your day-to-day living, if you find you're getting less productive or can't concentrate, that's when anxiety would be a problem, as opposed to normal everyday anxiety that we all have occasionally.
So I guess the measure of whether it's a problem or not is how intrusive it is into your overall functioning.
Yes. And people do report this on their own. They say, like, I just can't get anything done because of the worry, or people are noticing. There's other signs like losing your appetite. The overeating is also a sign of anxiety. Mm-hmm. Hair loss, hives, backaches. I mean, almost everything can be related to stress or anxiety. But usually, I mean, the people I see in my office, they're well aware that the anxiety has reached a level that it's interfering with their, you know, their productivity.
You know, I always tell people that, you know, without anxiety in general, society wouldn't work very well. You know,
yes.
We need a certain amount of anxiety to function. And anxiety in itself is not necessarily a problem because it's really a self-protective technique. But, as you say, if it gets to the point where it's no longer being positive and causing problems, then we have an issue to deal with.
There's that research that said you need a certain amount of anxiety to perform at optimum levels. And if you think of a common situation like taking a test, like, you want a little bit of tension there because you want to be vigilant. You want to pay attention to the questions. You want to take it seriously. But too much anxiety will decrease your performance.
So when you have patients who have significant anxiety problems, I know that you use relaxation techniques as a treatment program.
Yes.
But what's really the difference between, relaxation and, let's say, what people call chilling out?
Yes. There's nothing wrong with chilling out, but the way I put it is relaxation is a specific skill. It sounds like the opposite. It sounds like you're putting pressure on someone to relax, but it's time that you put aside to do nothing else but an active relaxation. Like, just sitting there staring into space is not a bad idea. I do it all the time. But to physically relax your muscles, to concentrate on certain techniques to help you actually lower your blood pressure and lower your heart rate and slow down the racing thoughts if that's a problem. So the only difference really is it's more specific, and it's a technique it's a skill that you have to sort of practice like anything else to get good at.
Just want to remind the audience, this is Dr. Howard Gurr, and I'm talking to Dr. Fred Holtz, who's the executive director of the Holtz Psychological Services, a group practice in Melville, New York. So, Fred, let me go back. What would be the benefits of a formal relaxation program?
Well, okay, I'm going to start with the basic physical benefits. It will actually give you a time period in your day where your heart rate is lower, your pulse is lower, your thoughts are calm, and a lot of research shows that if you give yourself those, if you break the stress cycle in your day, I should back up a second. During the course of a typical day, your stress increases as there's more phone calls, as you're in traffic, as you're talking to people. And if you allow yourself 5 or 10 minutes to relax, it breaks the stress cycle. It brings down the level of stress, even temporarily. So again, the physical benefits are lower your blood pressure, especially over time, lower your heart rate, physically relax your muscles, slow down your thought process, which sometimes allows you to think more clearly. The long-term effects, it's good for your heart. It's good for your general health. There's a lot of things that are stress-related. In fact, if you talk to a physician, he would say or she would say most things are stress-related. A lot of the problems they see are at least related to stress. So it's a health issue. It's a mental health issue. And it's a productivity issue.
I always tell my patients, and I don't know if I'm right or wrong on this one, but I always tell them that stress really doesn't cause anything, but whatever you have, stress makes it worse.
It's pretty much true. People, things like irritable bowel syndrome and backache and headaches, it is clear that stress plays a part. It doesn't necessarily cause, especially if it's a pinched nerve or something physical, but certainly learning how to relax helps a wide variety of medical situations.
So, Fred, what kinds of problems can relaxation techniques really help with?
Well, there is the obvious types of problems that it can help with, like an anxiety-based disorder. Psychologists know very well that generalized anxiety is kind of common in the population. Phobias, which is a fear of a specific object or situation. Any of the anxiety-based disorders. But also, we do use relaxation techniques in adjunct with other techniques for attention deficit disorder, even, believe it or not, for marital difficulty, because when you're anxious and angry, you can't communicate. There's no two-way communication. So it does have applications to a wide variety of situations, both specific to anxiety and things you wouldn't think of.
In relationship to techniques, what specific relaxation techniques have you found that really work?
Well, Howie, there's a lot of techniques, but what really works is a combination of just a handful. The first thing, you have to convince someone that they have enough time to relax, because the first reaction when I say, listen, have you ever done some kind of formal relaxation, is the answer is usually, well, I don't have time for that, which it tells me something. So the first thing I say is it only takes 5 minutes a day. The easiest technique to start with is to keep your breathing regular, because when we're anxious or stressed, we breathe irregularly. I know a lot of techniques out there say to do the deep breathing, which is fine, but I find if you keep your breathing regulated, and the easiest way to do that is you say a word to yourself every time you breathe out. It can be a nonsense word, it can be the word calm or the word relax. So every time you breathe out, you say a word to yourself. And just that alone helps you pace your breathing, keeping it regular. Most people can do that. That's not a problem. The second thing we do is visualization. It's sort of an intense way of imagining something. I have people think about a vacation they were on, or a day at the beach, or a walk in the forest, and I try to have them use all their imaginary senses. So they'll close their eyes, they'll keep their breathing paced, and they'll, for example, think of the waves coming in on the shore, and they'll think of the sounds and the salty smell in the air and the blue sky and the sun on their face and, all the senses that you can possibly use. Now, just doing that has already lowered their blood pressure. And if your listeners want to try it right now, if you just visualize a calm, relaxing scene and keep your breathing regular and shut your eyes, you've just reduced your blood pressure. So that's the first few techniques.
Mm-hmm.
The main, you know, the nuts and bolts of the technique is progressive muscle relaxation. A lot of techniques out there have you like imagining that your muscles are relaxed, but the techniques we use in my office, it has you actually relax your muscles. So you like, you'll make your hands into really tight fists for about 10 seconds, and then you'll slowly relax them. And then you'll spread your fingers out the other way, like as far as they can go. So you feel the tension in your palms. So it's opposing muscle groups. It's flexors and tensors. And you're basically going through different muscle groups in your body, and you're physically relaxing them. You're making them relaxed. In addition to the visualization, the paced breathing, and of course, I'm a cognitive psychologist, so there's things you can say to yourself, either in a stressful situation or to kind of practice before you get into the stressful situation. None of these techniques are complicated. They're pretty straightforward. Clients sometimes have difficulty doing all these things at once, and the famous thing they say is, it didn't work, I fell asleep. To which I say, it worked just marvelously. That's excellent. So I meant to say before, it's also used for sleeplessness and sleep disorders.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of the techniques.
I've been in practice for a long time, so I tried hypnosis for a while, and I thought that was a little unsettling, some of the reactions I got, almost scary to a certain point in terms of how, you know, based upon what people's perception of hypnosis is, some people were actually, you know, gone. And wouldn't even recall information during the session, even though I gave them that command that they would remember.
Right.
And then I did some relaxation tapes for people, and I used them. And then I came across this brainwave entrainment practice, and I was using that. And what I found, honestly, was that 95% of the people who used it fell asleep.
Well, I mean, that's a good goal, but you also want to be able to, you know, access the thought process and what else they're, you know, what else they're connecting to the anxiety. We do biofeedback in the office, which is, it's similar. I know you're talking about a neurological kind of feedback.
Mm-hmm.
We do biofeedback, which it measures your pulse and your heart rate, and it shows you an image on the computer. And the more you relax you are, you know, the image will change. Some of these things are fun. There's like a car going through the desert, and the more relaxed you are, the more the car stays on the track. You know, it's very interesting stuff. And what I use it for at this point is to quickly prove to somebody that, yes, you can actually lower your heart rate and do, you know, you can change physiology just by thinking a certain way. I don't use it for the whole session or session after session, but I use it as a quick technique to say, hey, look, you can actually lower your heart rate by doing these things.
Mm-hmm. Fred, I got to tell you, we're kind of out of time.
Okay.
So where can people find out more about you and your practice and your group?
Well, the easiest way is the website, which you've said is therapy-now.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can call us at 631-427-6669. We accept almost every insurance there is, not quite every plan, but most plans. And we'd be happy to talk to you. And, you know, on the phone is eight of us, eight different psychologists. We all have slightly different perspectives, but we all do relaxation techniques.
Well, I want to thank you again, and thank you for the information for my audience.
Thank you, Howie. It's been a pleasure.
So until next time, this is Dr. Howard Gurr for The Shrink Is In.
You have been listening to The Shrink Is In, and your host has been Dr. Howard Gurr. If you want to learn more about Dr. Gurr, go to his website at www.drsgurr.com.